Ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Mike Lyles. I am joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Who dragged his ass in today. He's not feeling all that hot, but he's going to be here, and he's going to be back at 1 o'clock for the pity party as
well. You bet I am.
Because he's excited about some new covers he's got for you.
You bet. It's going to be a good hour.
So keep it locked here. Of course, you'll listen to us. You'll listen to Democracy Now! At noon, and then stick around for the pity party at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
So it is a... Well, I was going to say overcast, but I don't know if that's necessarily overcast or smoke, but not necessarily the most beautiful of days. But
the sun gets through occasionally. It's been kind of nice.
It's been kind of nice. It's been kind of a weirdly quiet week in the world of baseball. I mean, there's definitely some stuff going on as we head towards revocable waiver end, but on field. I mean, we want to tip our own caps or, pump our own tires.
There we go.
For
that's
the
a good
fact
one.
That last week we talked about the A's Astros having a battle. I mean, of course, now the A's have lost two consecutive games subsequent to that.
Correct.
But for a brief period of time, Oakland
was leading the AL West.
They took it from the Astros. You know, this is one of the smallest payrolls in baseball, going up against the World Series defending champions, who are rich. Their cup overfloweth.
Mm-hmm.
And
Billy Beane's an absolute magician.
You know,
he's incredible.
Late August, and they were up.
Yeah, I mean, like they still could feasibly
only a game and a half behind.
Yeah, they could still feasibly win the division. I think they've pretty much sealed the Mariners out of the playoffs, which is a shame.
It is too bad, yeah. The Mariners now sitting 5.5 games back and 4 out of the wild card.
Yeah, which means that they're really totally, especially with how many games left they have to play against the Red Hot A's, it's highly unlikely that they'll end up...
Eight back of the Yankees for that first wild card and 4 back.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a slog for the Mariners if they want to try and make it. But hallelujah for the A's, who have been baseball's wonder team for a long time.
A lot of fun. So meanwhile, the Boston Red Sox continue on this crazy ass pace, 90-39 right now.
Yeah,
698 winning percentage. Do you think?
No.
No.
No, because they got it. They have to win. They have to be 15 games over 500 the rest of the way. No. 10 games over 500 the rest of the way, and I just don't see it. They have to play the Lindors 3 times. They still have 6 or is it 8 games against the Yankees left. And those usually go 500, right? Especially the ones in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. The Yankees probably are going to end up being better at that. So they need to finish with a winning percentage of 715. In order to beat the Mariners, and I just can't see it.
This next little stretch here, I mean, starting today, they're at Tampa for 3 games.
Those are 2 wins.
Then they go, they host the Marlins.
That's
in the world's worst interleague.
Is that three wins?
Yeah, so that's two games, though, only. Oh,
that's two wins.
Then they're at the White Sox.
Probably two wins.
Probably two wins. At the Braves. That's a little more of a tricky one.
Yeah, I'm still going to chalk that up for two. So you're still playing well over 500 at this point.
So then you're home for the Astros. That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. I'm not going to try and pretend to know what's going to happen on that.
Home for the Blue Jays.
That's three wins.
Home for the Mets.
That's three wins.
At the Yankees.
That's probably two losses.
At the Lindors.
That's probably two losses.
Home for the Orioles.
That's three wins.
That's three wins. And then home for the Yankees to close out the season.
And that's probably two wins. They could do it.
It's
within the realm of possibility.
It's within the realm of possible because, I mean, about half of the schedule left is against terrible teams.
Do you think that if it's in range,
I mean, really,
that they...
it's the Yankees, the Astros,
and the Braves that are stopping them.
Oh, and the Lindors. The Lindors.
Yeah.
And then you've got one...
I can't believe I'm actually going to cheer for the Yankees.
Four series that are... guaranteed to be over 500.
I can't believe I'm going to be cheering for the Yankees down the stretch, but it's going to be happening.
Just to prevent them from getting the record.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not even sure if I can bring myself to cheer for the Yankees to do that.
I'm going to be cheering for the Blue Jays ahead of time before that.
I don't like the Red Sox, or I guess more the Red Sox fans.
Oh, they're unbearable.
But at the same time, I don't have, like, the history of loathing that I have for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those situations where, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend when both of them
are my enemy. Yeah, I don't know. The thing is like, I just dislike both teams greatly. And, like, the thing with the Red Sox is that they weren't as bad. Their fans weren't as bad when they were, like, the underdogs, the self-pitying losers
yeah.
that always lost to the Yankees when it counted. You know, it was whatever. But then, you know, since they've won a bunch, and the Celtics won, and the Bruins won, and the Patriots won, they're just as bad as the New York fans.
I think it's residual Patriot hate is what I have.
Yeah, I won't ever stop hitting the Pats.
I don't have anything against the Red Sox. I really honestly equate the Patriots with the Yankees. Like, I feel like the Patriots are the Yankees of the NFL.
Yeah.
In the same way that
except
I think
they cheat.
Duke is the Yankees of the NCAA.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I just can't.
Like, I have a collection of St. Patrick's Day hats, like major league hats that are like the green with like shamrock kind of stitching and stuff like that. I'll own a Red Sox. In fact, I do own a Red Sox St. Patrick's Day hat.
Okay.
I will never buy a Yankees anything.
I mean, like, I have bought Yankees things, but not for myself.
I won't even buy it. I won't, like...
Well, I mean, your father isn't a Yankees fan, so you have that option.
I guess so. Well, no, you know what? I'll be quite honest. If my dad was a Yankees fan, I'd be like, no, not buying it.
Oh,
sorry.
You have more fortitude than myself then. Like, yeah, I don't know.
You're getting golf balls or, like, some other non-MLB product, because I'm not supporting.
Can't bring myself to do it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was too fond of the Mariners for too long to not root for the Yankees to stop the Red Sox from doing it. Plus, like, I'm in an internet chat group with a bunch of fans for the soccer team Wolves from Wolverhampton in the Premier League, and a whole bunch of them are Red Sox fans also, and I just can't deal with that.
What is the Venn diagram of Wolverhampton and Red Sox?
I have no idea, but there's a lot of them. Like at least six of the 40 of us that are constantly talking in that chat are Red Sox, are from New England and are Red Sox fans. It's crazy. I don't know.
Very strange. Yeah, but the certainly the schedule looks well laid out for them. This weekend is the players' weekend.
Yep.
And so I don't know if you've seen the incredibly obscenely colored Players Weekend hats, but as a hat lover, not really feeling these ones, I'll be quite honest.
I've seen some of the gear that the players are using themselves, not the hats, but I've seen, like, Scooter Jeanette, for example, has Dale Earnhardt cleats that look like Goodyear tires. You know, I've seen some of the socks that some of the players are planning on wearing. So, yeah, I haven't seen the hats. I'll look it up. I can't imagine it's good.
No, they're pretty gross looking. But the thing I like, and I don't know if you follow UniWatch on like Instagram and Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the, you know, fun stuff that they do with uniforms and the sort of different things that happen. The player nicknames on the back of the jerseys, like that to me is my favorite part of the Players Weekend.
Yeah.
Is them going by their nicknames.
I saw the Cubs hat. My mom showed me the Cubs hat, and I actually like it. The Cubs hat's fine with me, but some of the nicknames and some of the other hats I assume aren't great.
So some of the nicknames, just some of the choice ones. I like the Shane Bieber. He went with Not Justin.
Oh.
Which is a good hat tip to the fact that there is a more famous Bieber than he is.
Yeah.
Chris Sale, his is the conductor, because as Dustin Pedroia, his teammate, says, he punches tickets.
Oh, that's bad.
Walker Buehler's is Ferris.
Okay. All right. Buehler.
Yarlin Garcia is Yarlin the Marlin.
How do you fit that on the back of a jersey?
That's a good question.
I used to press
smaller
jerseys.
Smaller font. Cubs reliever Carl Edwards Jr. is the String Bean Slinger.
But, okay. I guess maybe they couldn't get clearance to use Carl's Jr. in the back of a uni.
Probably not.
Probably
I
not.
I think that's trademarked.
Yeah.
But I like the String Bean Slinger because, I mean, he's a tall, lanky dude.
Yeah, he
and,
is.
I don't know if I've ever heard him referred to as that, but there may... I mean, this is a thing, right? He's a reliever. There's a lot of time in that...
A lot of time in that bullpen.
I am sure he's got about 8 nicknames.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. Some of the ones where it's just like real whatever, right? Like, what the heck is Trout? It's like K and then like 5 I's and then O?
Kid. I think it's a D, isn't it? Kid? Like it's like...
Oh, that's a D. Okay, that makes sense. Judge doesn't even have a nickname on the back of his jersey. He just says
yeah,
they, Judge.
Not everyone has to. Like George Springer, he's just going with Springer. But, you know.
Showtime Shohei Ohtani. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I was already on board, but I'm super on board.
Carlos Correa is going with I Am Groot.
What?
I don't know if he's a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan or.
What the heck?
I'm actually eager to go on. Baseball Twitter and see if there's been interviews with all the players about, you know, like whether any of the beat reporters or like at MLB affiliated reporters have done coverage about like how did you end up with your nickname, at least for the ones that don't seem self-evident.
The one I really want to know the most about is that Freddie Freeman's jersey says Andrew.
Is Andrew Freeman
drawn a blank on that one. Okay, so I'm looking at some of the hats. The Cubs one's okay. The Dodgers one's really gross looking. I don't mind the Astros one.
I think when I see them all...
The Phillies one's clean.
When I see them all arrayed together, they're just... It's too much.
That's fair. The Phillies one is very clean. I like that one. The Rockies one is gross. The Yankees one's gross.
Very reminiscent of like an old Phillies cap, right?
Yeah.
The two-tone.
The Mets one's really nice.
It's not the burgundy and blue that they used to do. It's that more kind of like deep red and blue.
Oh my goodness. What the heck is up with the A's cap? That's a monstrosity. Same with the Brewers. Both of those are just nasty looking hats. Not a fan. The Mariners one's gross.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Tigers one. That one's okay. Only because of the logo on it, right?
Well,
the,
I mean, it's that...
It's growling tiger.
Like, sort of more scary tiger.
Diamondbacks isn't good. The Pirates is okay. KC's is really clean. Don't like the Angels. Don't like the Rangers just out of principle. The Twins one's gross. Oh, my God. Why did they put the Rays one in yellow? Ugh.
If you go to MLB.com/news right now, you can look up the Players Weekend details.
Most of these are bad. There's like,
photo, yeah,
like four or five good ones, and the rest are just awful.
I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to this. I just don't like...
You mean you're not going to get one?
In general, no.
Oh.
You know, when it comes to hats, I have standards. I mean, I know I got a lot of hats, but I've got standards.
So it's got to be like, for you though, but there's a limit, right? Like you can get... on both ends of the spectrum. You get, like, the really good hats, but I've also seen you get, like, the really stupid-looking ones, too. Just
the really stupid-looking ones? What are you...
I mean, like for some of the minor league ones where there's literally, like, a biscuit as the logo. Like, you can't tell me that that's...
But at least, like, color
that's fair.
Scheme
okay,
and stuff.
That's,
and the logo itself, I mean, I like different kinds of... Like, I have a flying squirrel, a Richmond flying squirrel.
But, I mean, squirrels are your thing.
I mean, squirrels definitely are my thing. No, and I certainly was looking at some other new minor league ones earlier this week, and they're... I mean, and this is the thing. The minor leagues, that's the opportunity to have these crazy brands and,
right.
and fun logos. And, you know, they'll have, like, three different logos, right? They'll have a home, road, and an alternate, and each one will have its own kind of, like, cartoonish logo.
Right. And, I mean, like, you get some really cool jersey combinations out of that. Like, the Sioux Falls Canaries have these really, really clean-looking yellow jerseys that, like, they're, like, canary yellow, and then they just say in blue font, birds across the front. And that's clean. That's so clean.
Yeah. No, I feel those ones. Garrett Cole. Coltrane, I like.
That's not bad.
Some of them are very obvious, like Alex Bregman is just A. Breg.
Yeah.
Tony Kemp is Kempy.
Tuve is one of them. Kirsch is one of them. You know, some of these are just self-evident.
Yeah. Jake Smolinski of the Athletics is Smo Money.
Smo Money, Mo Problems.
And Andrew Triggs on the same team as Trigonometry.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah. This is...
math and baseball, baby.
As we get into the, you know, the very tail end of August here, it is fun to have this weekend to look forward to for, you know...
I agree.
Something to change things up. And, you know, I really enjoy baseball, but it's always fun to have, like, sort of these, you know, wacky things or not necessarily, like... just on-field play related things, right?
Yep. I
mean,
no, I agree.
In the same way that, you know, when you look at the schedule, you look at, you know, what promotions are happening. Like, are there fireworks at this game, or are they giving out some sort of random bobblehead or...
socks or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all in on that.
Yep.
So the other thing that this time of year is of course, the non-waiver trade deadline. Sorry, pardon me, the
waiver trade
waiver
deadline.
Trade deadline. And that is, of course, next Friday.
Yep.
Teams, of course, throwing folks out there, looking to see if they clear irrevocable waivers. There have been some moves already, and then there are some that are kind of in process. The most recent of which, this was MLB.com's John Paul Morosi this morning, noting that the Brewers have claimed Matt Harvey from the Reds off revocable waivers. There is... no deal as of yet, but
I think the deal had to be done or has to be done by 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
So just after this show ends at 12:30 our time,
yeah,
there needs to be a deal in place. The teams are engaged in discussions, but John Heyman of MLB Network noting that the deal is getting close, but no, there's no news as of what. They're looking to do, but this is, of course, following the Brewers making some outrights, including, and now, it's Knebel?
I'm like 90% sure. Corey Knebel,
pitcher for the Brewers. I thought it was Knebel. Like, I thought it was a soft K.
Right, but I've heard other people pronounce it Knebel and not in, like, jest.
As you said, Ben Lindbergh of the Ringer. MLB podcast is where you'd heard it pronounced. So, I mean, the Brewers looking for pitching. They're still in that hunt. They're 3.5 games back of the Cubs and currently holder of the second wild card spot. So clearly needing someone. And, you know, Harvey has been all right for the Reds. You know, 6-5.
Yeah, I would say that he's been right. Like he's been solid.
He's like a fourth starter.
Yeah, he's been solid.
And I can't imagine.
Yeah, I just looked up the pronunciation. It's Knebel. Yep.
So Harvey's making $5.625 million this season, but the Mets assumed the remainder of his salary when they traded for him for Devin Mesoraco. So in fact, like this is a depending on what you have to give up to trade to get him from the Reds. You're not eating salary. It's not going against your cap. So
no, which I think is, and I mean, he's been fine, right? Like, and the Brewers are chasing the Cubs and they're trying to do, you know, playoff things for the first time in a while in Milwaukee. And And their rotation has been really so-so this entire year, you know, relying heavily on how great their bullpen has been. You know, and with the fact that, Knebel has kind of taken a dive off the cliff, you know, they're relying pretty much on two relievers, right? You're relying on Josh Hader and Jeffries. And that's like it. And so adding another starter, even if he's service like just plain serviceable, I think is fairly fine, because you know, what have you really gotten from the rest of your starters, right? Like, you've been without Jimmy Nelson for the entire year. Junior Guerra is fine, but he's not someone that I really trust because he's so up and down. And you know, they're talking about optioning one or two more starters to either the pen or, you know, just straight up placing them on waivers and optioning them down because they just haven't been able to trust them, right? You've got Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, Julius.
They optioned
Davies. That's right, they did. Well. So Julius Chacin, Junior Guerra, Wade Miley, and Freddie Peralta, which, you know, they've been okay, but they haven't been, like, great. And so adding Matt Harvey might not be the worst thing in the world for them.
Yeah, so Steve Adams of MLBTradeRumors.com noting that the four, one, two, three, yeah, there's only four of them that have four of them out of the five starters have a FIP better than Harvey. Only Chase Anderson's 4.5 is worse right now. But he does note that outside of one terrible 8-run meltdown against the Pirates back in July, the majority of Harvey's starts with the Reds have been competitive.
He's been averaging
5.5 1/3, but his velocity has increased. And he has seen a jump in his swinging strike rate.
Which, I mean, is kind of what you want from Harvey, right? Like, that's the reason why you get him, is for that fastball-slider combination.
And a jump in his chase rate on out-of-zone pitches.
Yeah.
So there is some signs that he's improving and some questions about that rotation. And, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. When you head into the postseason and you're playing shortened series and you need arms. It's an arms race.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with this. If I was the Brewers, I would want him.
Also, in the old trade rumors, this is, of course, on the red side of things, is Billy Hamilton has apparently been claimed off revocable waivers by an unknown team. This is according to Robert Murray of The Athletic. Though, this is John Heyman saying the trade for Billy Hamilton off his waiver claim is said to be unlikely. Makes sense since he's not a free agent after the year. So whichever team was going to claim him, of course, wouldn't have control.
Right.
Beyond this season and sort of the cost.
I wonder who would have claimed him. I wonder which team would have claimed Billy Hamilton but not also have claimed Andrew McCutchen, who cleared.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, you're looking for a speedy outfielder. Although I think McCutchen's speed has dipped. He's not the base-stealing threat that he once was.
Fair, but I think
when he was an MVP.
He's a better hitter, right?
He is a better hitter. Hamilton's hitting .239, .304, .321.
Which is bad.
Which is a pretty awful slash line, particularly that .321. It's funny because, like, now, I mean, it's a sliding scale. That .239 batting average once upon a time would have been atrocious. Batting average in general has kind of taken a hit, and so .239 isn't quite what it once was. But he has 29 steals in 122 games. McCutchen, I'm not sure how many steals he has.
I'm looking it up. I got you covered. I'm looking it up right now.
His stats. I mean, but Hamilton, his real things, his what he brings to the table are range in the outfield and base stealing ability.
Right.
It's all reliant on his speed. He's
correct.
Not necessarily like a UZR hero because...
So McCutchen has stolen 11 bases and his slash line is .253, .351, .408.
Yeah.
Which makes him a far better option. He's got 1.3 wins above replacement this year. In my opinion, it makes him a far better option. He's got a 111 WRC plus on the year, which I think is far better than Hamilton's. I'm just looking that one up right now. But yeah, 111, and you know, the fact that his OPS is actually in, you know, like the mid 700s, whereas Hamilton's is what, like cruising around six at that with that. Yeah, Billy Hamilton's WRC plus is 70. So I guess you're getting him for his defense and his stolen bases, but like, I don't know, man, I would just rather have McCutcheon.
Another team that's been making a lot of throwing a lot of players out there, made two trades earlier this week. That is the Nationals, who have thrown in the towel.
Completely thrown in the towel.
So
Murphy and Harper went on waivers.
So they've traded Murphy and Matt Adams.
Yep.
And then they threw Gio Gonzalez, Ryan Zimmerman, and Matt Wieters and onto the irrevocable trade waivers. All three of those passed through unclaimed, so they can be dealt to any team before the August 31st deadline. So let's go over the two that actually happened, though. Matt Adams to the Cards and Daniel Murphy to the Cubs. Cubs, in the tradition of picking up terrible people who are all right on the field, grab Daniel Murphy.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing here. I was talking with Jared about it when it happened, and he seems to think that it's because either Addison Russell is hurt more than they think, or it's going to take longer for Chris Bryant to come back. And both of those make a little bit of sense to me, but I'm not entirely sure. I mean, he can hit and he can field at second base fine. I don't necessarily know that this moves the needle.
Yeah, I mean, because do you see him as, you know, a starter through the postseason, or is this like
not if everybody's
bench
healthy?
Depth, because if everyone's healthy,
not if everybody's
he doesn't
healthy
necessarily. Because outrank anyone?
Who's he starting over? Right, like he's absolutely not starting over Javi Baez. Not even a little bit. He's probably I mean, like, you're not moving Baez over to start over Addy Russell and have Murphy start at second, I don't think, because Addy's a much better double play partner for Javi. And he's certainly not starting at third or first over Bryant or Rizzo. So it's bench depth. That's it. Which is fine, I guess, if that's what you need. But I don't necessarily mind what the Cubs have on their bench. Right? Because their ideal starting outfield is... The ideal starting outfield is Schwarber, Happ, Hayward, right? Which means you've got Zobrist on the bench to come in and play second base, and Bodie also on the bench, right? Unless you're optioning Bodie down when Bryant comes back. But, like, I don't know. It's too many infielders.
So, Theo Epstein, right after the trade, this is from ESPN, said, you know, we're looking to jumpstart the offense. We've been scuffling lately, and we thought the addition of consistent high-level professional at-bats would help us. The Cubs, 14th in the National League in scoring this month with 3.2 runs per game. And they entered the month first. And they have scored just one run in five straight games. And
I mean, they lit up yesterday. They scored a bunch of runs last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this article is from when the trade was made the other day. I mean, they gave up Andrew Monasterio, Class A infielder, and a player to be named later or cash consideration. So it's not a tremendous cost to them.
Yeah, no, they didn't have to pay that much.
It's, I mean, I guess the question mark is Chris Bryant, this shoulder injury.
Right.
And whether it lingers. I mean, it might be the kind of thing where the medical staff obviously have access to him and know his condition. He is purported to be expected back, but with a shoulder for a slugger.
You never really know how long it's going to take him to get back into rhythm. I mean, it took last year, even with with the wrist, right? When Freddie Freeman broke his wrist, it took him like 2 years to start being Freddie Freeman again. So,
or to be Andrew.
To be Andrew, yeah. So, you know, with a shoulder, you never really know. You never really know, especially with like how it's going to affect his throwing too. From third, you don't really know how that's going to end up affecting him. So, yeah, I guess we'll see.
Right. So the Nationals, the other player that they traded in that series of moves was first baseman Matt Adams to the Cards for cash considerations. Adams, like, formerly with the Cards.
Yep.
Back with them. What do you think of this move?
I don't necessarily, like, he's a utility player, right? You can play him at first, or you can play him in the corner outfield spots, and he's fine at all of those, and he's a good platoon guy, right? He hits, is it righties or lefties really, really well? He hits one of the sides really well. I think it's righties. He hits righties incredibly well, which is fine, right? Like, he's a fine player to have as a platoon utility guy down the line, right? I think it's fine. It's an okay move. I have no strong feelings one way or the other about it.
Yeah, so looking at the Cards, they are 71-57, 3 games behind the Cubs, and
absolutely come alive
in the wild card. 3 games, 3 straight wins just now.
Yeah.
So they have Adams listed as second behind Matt Carpenter at first.
Yeah.
And they have him listed as third in the depth chart for left field behind O'Neill and Munoz.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he's there to hit righties, right? Like, he's a platoon guy. He's coming in to hit righties, and that's about it. And that's fine. He hits well against righties, so I have no issue with it. No strong feelings, Mike.
No strong feelings. Circling back to the Cubs, just on the injury notes, Yu Darvish has been declared out for the rest of the 2018 season. Talking to MLB.com's Kerry Muskrat, he addressed the fact that he felt there was something else other than the tightness he was experiencing in his pitching arm. So much so that this diagnosis of a stress reaction came as something of a relief. He's not even thinking about the season to come so much as he is caring for his ailing arm.
I think the Cubs had to have known something about this before the trade deadline.
True.
Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have gone out and gotten Cole Hamels.
This is true. And Hamels
has been great.
Dynamic.
He's been so good for them since going back. He pitched a complete game yesterday. I think he only gave up 3 hits, 1 run. He only walked 5 or 6. He was incredible. He was incredible yesterday. And he's been such a revelation going back to the National League. He's been so good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, this is a guy who excelled in Philly and then had, I mean, I've been serviceable, but league average in Texas?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Right, like he wasn't going out there and hurting you, but he wasn't necessarily winning games on his own. And I mean, I find it interesting because, you know, you look at the hitter's parks versus pitcher's parks, and Philly is as much of a hitter's park as Arlington. It wasn't like he moved from, you know, Target Field or some other, like, deep pitcher's park.
Is it maybe the, like, the feeling that you can have one off batter every single time through rotation where you don't have to have your 100% stuff with the pitcher, right? Like, that sort of psychology, that psychological break where you can ease up and not have to, you know, you can't fall asleep at the wheel,
but you can take your foot off the gas.
You can put it on cruise control,
right? That could well be. I mean, I don't know about that. I'd be curious to, like, see if anyone has ever talked to pitchers who've made the switch from league to league.
Done both. Cole Hamels would be someone I'd want to talk to.
Sort of like the psychology of, like,
yeah,
do they feel different when they know, you know, coming up in the third inning, they're going to be facing,
you know, if you're facing
opposing pitcher.
Exactly. You're facing the 7 or the 8 hitter, and you know that you can go at him and try things that you wouldn't necessarily try if you knew that you had, like, a reasonably competent hitter in the 9 hole, because you can get out of an inning.
Right.
You
don't have to be Medexian in terms of your location and stuff like that. You can usually get an out with not necessarily dealing your best stuff.
Yeah, you know, you have 3 guys there in basically in either the third inning or the second inning where you can just go, okay, well, I can care less.
And outside of interleague, the majority of your starts would mean psychologically you are more relaxed.
Yeah, I'd be interested in talking to some guys that have made that switch. Hamels would be at the top of that list. R.A. Dickey would be another one. You know, just guys that have been pitched in both leagues recently.
Yeah, no, it would be a very interesting thing to see. I'm gonna go on Google later and see if there's ever been any interview where those kind of pitchers have been asked about that. Because, I mean, especially when you consider, like, DHs, their job, they're a professional hitter.
Right.
It's like going from someone who can't hit, like, to save their life versus someone whose entire reason
exactly
is hitting,
right?
Like, it's not like you're going from, you know, facing a 200 hitter to a 250 hitter.
No,
we're
talking
from like 160 at best to like 300s.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? And they were taught. I remember reading an article about this that right now the pitcher's WRC plus for this year is negative 24, meaning that a pitcher is 124% worse than an average major league hitter.
And that's the average.
That's the average.
Which DHs generally are not.
Correct. And the DHs are right now 115 WRC plus, which means that they are 15% better than the average major league hitter. So you're
so
talking
like a double swing.
It's a double swing, right? You're talking about like literally a 200% difference between the two of them.
Right.
Which is crazy. So, which is why I don't understand why people still want the pitchers to hit.
That's I mean, that is a age old unanswered question in terms of the baseball world. And I don't see it getting sorted out anytime soon.
No.
Back to the Cubs and injuries. Been a little bit of a tough one for their bullpen. Three of their relievers, Tyler Chatwood, righty, headed to the DL with hip soreness, according to Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Brandon Morrow.
Still out.
Has been sidelined for over a month with a bulky elbow and still lacking a clear timeline for his return. Did have a checkup yesterday. Examination didn't reveal anything of particular note, but it was not arranged due to a fear of setback. It was just a scheduled check-in. And then Brian Dunsing, who signed with the Cubs in free agency last winter, is on a rehab assignment after a few years of quality relief. He is carrying a 7.34 ERA on the year and has had a shoulder ailment that has seen him on the shelf.
That's not so good.
No, and particularly when you've got the Cards on a hot roll chasing your behinds for the top place in the NL Central. That's a tough one for them. The swooning Dodgers now sit 4.5 games back of Arizona, 3.5 games back of Colorado, and 3.5 games back of the Wild Card.
They might not even make the playoffs. It's shocking to even think that, right? To think the Dodgers, I mean, not even going to make the playoffs.
You know, it's amazing kind of how things can happen. Arizona, 3-game winning streak. Colorado, 2-game winning streak. Dodgers, 3-game losing streak. And so they just kind of pass each other like to an up and down escalator. Because last week, I don't think either of us have thought that the Dodgers were necessarily on the ropes, but I feel like they might be.
And a big part of that, I hate to say I told you so, is how extraordinarily average Manny Machado has been since joining that team. And I mentioned this, is that like I don't understand why teams were chasing him super hard and acting like he was, you know, God's gift to baseball, when his splits show pretty clearly that he's not great away from home. And now he's been remarkably average, and on top of that, his defense has not been great, because we knew about this, and now he's just kind of there. He's a guy for the Dodgers, which is fine, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, because, I mean, start of the year, everyone wanted Machado, right? I mean, this was like the Winter League thing, was the asking price from the Orioles was kind of crazy. People weren't necessarily ready to pay it, but that, like, basically every team with a pulse had checked in with Duquette to see about getting Machado at that point, and certainly was the name on the non-waiver trade deadline, and Dodgers got him, and yeah, it just really hasn't panned out for the Dodgers.
Nope.
Meanwhile, those resurgent Colorado Rockies promoted first baseman outfielder Matt Holliday.
Whoa, whoa.
Rocky legend. He played left field and batted fifth in his 2018 debut with the Major League club after having played a few games in the minors for them. That's one of those ones where I always appreciate a player who got their start and really kind of hit their peak with a club.
Goes back.
Looping back around.
Playing for that club again.
It's like a swan song or like, you know, I don't know. There's got to be some other term other than swan song, but...
It works in this particular instance, right? Because, like, Matt Holliday isn't a super productive baseball player anymore.
Right. No, I was thinking, like, a Torrey Hunter when he came back and played the outfield for the Twins.
Oh, yeah.
And was kind of coaching Byron Buxton in terms of the outfield defense and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat thing to see them kind of come back like that.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
I need to cough, so I'm going to go to a commercial here so that
sure.
We can do this off air, and then we'll get right back.
That works.
Don't miss dynamic Aussie Dynamo Tash Sultana on Tuesday, November 6th, bringing her high-energy live show to the Burton Cummings Theater. A phenomenal young artist who commanded world attention when her homemade videos jamming went viral, Tash was soon selling out massive theaters globally and playing at the world's biggest festivals. No mean feat for an artist who just a year before was recording songs on a GoPro in a bedroom. Tickets are moving fast and are on sale now for $45 plus fees, available at Ticketmaster and the Winnipeg Folk Festival office. Here all year, don't miss dynamic young worldwide superstar Tash Sultana as she makes her Winnipeg debut at the Burton Cummings Theater on Tuesday, November 6th. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Folk Festival and proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
The future is now, or rather Saturday, September 1st, as the acclaimed synth-pop act Future Islands play the Burton Cummings Theater in support of their latest album, The Far Field. Led by the unique performer Samuel T. Herring, Future Islands are dynamic live performers with a deep well of danceable tunes in their catalog, making this a show you don't want to miss. Advance tickets are $29.50 and $35 plus fees and are available now at all Ticketmaster outlets and online at Ticketmaster.ca. So get yours and secure your spot in the future at the Burton Cummings Theater on Saturday, September 1st to see Future Islands and special guests. Proudly supported by 101.5 UMFM.
Well, that was an auspicious cough break because as I did that, the phones rang and it was the bullpen calling in. Chris Zook.
Hello, Michael.
How are you doing?
Are you solo or is
Hi.
Brian
here?
Brian's here as well. Yeah.
What's up, Zook?
Hey, I'm good. I just wanted to say something here because Michael will really appreciate it. But I was in Twinkie Land last weekend. I saw the Twins on Sunday there as they played the Detroit Tigers, and somehow they got a win, Michael, so maybe a good luck charm there. It was a beautiful day at the ballpark there at Target Field, and I know people go out to the Gold Eyes here, but if they're ever in the States and the Twinkies are playing around here in Minneapolis area, that is one of the best ballparks you can go see.
There are
and
worse
you can get there within
be.
6 or 7 hours, right, by car.
Yeah, it's obviously the closest drive. And a lot cheaper than flying to Toronto or
It's a very, very
Seattle.
Nice ballpark.
And it's a beautiful ballpark, and it's a...
It's no Homer Dome, right? It's no Metrodome, but...
R.I.P.
You know.
R.I.P. garbage bag. yeah. Actually, I was going to bring up the Twins just about because I was going to tip my cap to Chris Davis, the Oakland Athletics, who became the home run leader. With 39 of them after Cole Stewart of the Twins gave up a homer to him yesterday. So, obviously it's not necessarily good news for the Twins, but Chris Davis, you know, not necessarily anyone. I never look at those like Vegas odds as to who's going to be, you know, home run king or you know, those kind of prop bets. But I have to imagine you would have gotten good odds on Chris Davis
Real
at the
good.
Start of this season. I think someone like Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge or J.D. Martinez would have been the prohibitive favorites, and Chris Davis probably would have been some long odds. But he hit a 396-foot blast yesterday, according to StatsCast, solo homer. So hat tip to Chris Davis, to those resurgent A's as well. We're big fans of a small market team and a low cost roster punching above their weight. That's for sure. So outside of catching a game, what's been floating your boat in the old MLB world there, Zook?
I just think, you know, like that AL West is outstanding. I think the races now, we got through kind of the dog days of summer, and the trade deadline has gone past, and you know, also in the NL West, we've got some good battles here. Some guys are getting back healthy again, and it's kind of the stretch run. It's a stretch run for real life. It's a stretch run for fantasy. I'm in a weird league in fantasy where the playoffs started this week, if you can believe that. It seems a little bit far out.
It's kind of early.
Yeah, it is early. They ended a couple weeks early for some reason, and I get some of that because a lot of players get sat out, but it seems a lot early. It didn't matter to me in that league. I was horrible this year, so I'm not missing out on anything. But if people are in fantasy, the most normal ones maybe have 2 weeks left before they get in the fantasy playoffs, so you're looking for some sleepers, some guys coming back off of DL and trying to stash away here, and we're getting a whole bunch of call-ups as well too. I'm assuming you guys talked about, Mike, I'm going to butcher his name again, so it's all right, right? But the Chicago White Sox phenom who came up this week.
Kopech.
There you go.
We haven't actually gotten around to him. We were talking irrevocable trade deadline and had not gotten up to call-ups. So,
I try to avoid talking about fantasy because my old man always ends up beating me in whatever leagues we're in. So,
well, you know, isn't that a good thing? That's a good bonding, right? Isn't that fine? That's nice.
Yeah, except, you know, he rubs it in.
That's what dads aren't supposed to let you win.
I guess that's fair. He's got the Bleacher Report app, and it sends notifications to his phone, and I just don't have the time.
That's fair. I mean, you know what? You know, dad needs to win a little bit once in a while. That's fine, right?
He's legitimately very good at it, so.
Well, there you go. That's good. No, but a huge call-up, I think, this week for the White Sox there. Eloy Jimenez, I believe, is another one who hopefully people have been waiting breathlessly for him to come up as well. But, you know, it's sort of teams now that are off, you know, they're not going to do anything. This is where you're going to get some late call-ups that can help you fantasy. And also just, you know, you can start watching some of the new stars hopefully blossom late in the season there. So it's exciting. I love this time, right? Because now we're into the home stretch here. We get into Labor Day weekend, and it's going to be a blur. And the next thing you know, we're going to be in playoffs. So it's pretty exciting there in regards to that. And you know this, Mike, I don't know if you remember this, but they have Twingo. Does anyone know what Twingo is all about? Do we know what I'm talking about when I say that?
No.
Twingo is something that was back in the Metrodome days. I actually won one back. What it is, it's bingo, but it's called Twingo. And basically they have a bingo a card, and they give you like, hey, does someone hit a home run? Does someone get pinch hit? And basically they have different categories throughout. And if you get a line, if you get a T, or if you fill up the whole card, you get free prizes. Back in the day, they gave out mugs or whatever, but now it's online, so it's on their app, and basically they just do it for you. So it used to be before it was on the honor system, so I'm not too sure. It's probably better now that they have it electronically. But Twingo, if you ever in watching the Minnesota Twins and you get a little bored about that, put it on your app there, and that's kind of cool there. You can win some prizes. Twingo.
So you mentioned the September 1st is the, of course, roster expansion date, and there are there's an article actually by Jim Callis, Jonathan Mayo, and Mike Rosenbaum on what one player each team could conceivably call up that would maybe have an impact for those clubs. One that I thought was interesting is, of course, with rookie phenom Juan Soto for the Nationals. The other kind of outfielder that was a high prospect for them, their number one for the club and number five overall on the MLB prospects, Victor Robles, who is a year older than Soto, but you know, his path to the bigs wasn't quite as quick or clean. But with, you know, the fact that the Nationals have ostensibly thrown in the towel this week with pretty much putting half the roster on revocable trade waivers.
Yep. Yep.
There's a spot. There's an opening. There's a chance for them to bring up two young outfielders, or rather put a second young outfielder in that club. And, you know, obviously with the looming Harper free agency, this is something that they might want to see how those two pair together sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I fully agree with that 100%. I'm such a big fan of his. He's going to be such a good ball player. Yeah.
Both of them, I think, right? I mean, the Nationals, they've done all right on the farm system, which is great. Again, Michael knows this. I shed no tears for the Nationals as they go spiraling down into, I hope they go right to last place by the end of this year. They could still do it, I think. But
I don't know that anybody in that division can be as bad as the Mets or the Marlins.
So they
I tell you, they could lose 30 in a row now. You never know. They could go on an epic, losing streak here.
They're 14 games up on Miami for last place.
I'll make a prediction. I think they get it within 7 or maybe 5, I think. Because you're looking at the Nationals, they're literally going to give away like half their team now in the next couple weeks if people want some of these players, right? And they're looking for the future. I just wonder, what are they doing? I have no idea, right? Because if you're not signing Harper either, you're really, really doing a rebuild here. I mean, it's not going to be like Marlins rebuild, but it's going to be something there. But you're right, Soto, Robles, those are going to be great guys to watch in the next 5, 10, 15 years because they're going to be exciting additions for the Nationals.
Can we even call what the Marlins are doing a rebuild? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
This is,
that's a fire sale.
I was going to say, Jeter is obviously the face of the ownership, but he is a minority...
They just want to save money.
...holder. The person who, holds the majority stake is one of those venture capitalists who basically sheds a bunch of jobs at any company that he takes over and then flips them. And he's basically doing what he does in the corporate world.
Right.
In the baseball world.
I don't necessarily think that the Nationals are going to be worse for wear next year, having gotten rid of Murphy and Harper. They're not going to be paying Harper a lot of money. Their outfield is still going to be Robles, Soto, and Eaton, who they still have control over, which is a fine outfield. They still have Rendon. They still have Turner. They still have Max Scherzer. I don't... Like, with the money that they're saving from Murphy and Harper, they can go out and pay Brian Dozier. They can go out and get themselves a catcher. They can go out and get themselves some decent back-end rotation guys. I don't think that they're going to be... I think that they're going to back better next year than they were this year.
Well, they should, because they have to. But remember, they were like contenders. People would predict them for maybe World Series this year, right? They changed the manager. It's just been a disastrous year for that organization or franchise. I mean, you're right, Ryan. They should be better because they're pretty bad this year now, right? They're really bad. But the future's not too bad, right? But you got to wonder when they take stock of this year, where did it go wrong? I don't know. All of it, right? It all went bad. We don't know about the clubhouse and injuries and stuff like that, but you got Max Scherzer. If not the best pitcher, he's top two with maybe Sale. Argument here or there. Sure. And you got Strasburg if he stays healthy. Those are two of the top. It's a pretty good tandem, right? So, yeah, they're not too bad. I mean, it's just, it's just one of those years where they try to go all in and they came up craps. So.
For all the talk of this being a disastrous season and throwing in the towel, so they're sitting at 500. They're only 3 games away from what the Dodgers' record is right now.
Yeah.
And no one's saying, the Dodgers have had a disastrous season or, talked about them throwing in the towel. And you got to remember, they're in a division with the Mets and the Marlins, who do not hold any promise of being any better next season either.
You don't know exactly how the young Braves are going to handle success. They could potentially get worse next year. You don't know. Same thing with the Phillies, right? So I don't know. I mean, if I'm putting money on where the Natties, right now, if you asked me to put money down on who's going to win the National League East next year, I'd seriously consider the Nationals. I don't know if that's where my money would end up, but I would consider it because I don't know what they're going to do with their offseason. I think Brian Dozier is a very reasonable
thing. Prohibitive favorite. Like, you could pencil them in for the National League East for the last 5 seasons.
Yeah,
winning that title. But I think
there are some enticing free agents out there that'll help them become a competitive team again, and they'll have the money to splash around without Harper or Murphy. I think it's possible.
It is. I would just say in that division, one, the Braves are just on the way up here. I would actually go the positive and say the Braves are only going to get better. The Phillies are pretty good right now. The Mets are going to come back here a bit, right? Because someone's going to spend some money again on, because that's a disaster, right? The Marlins are, you know, they're useless now. They're a hopeless case. But I get where you're going with that. I would caution about, like, sort of, because it was so, I think also because expectation, I think why people are talking about the Nationals fall this year, because the expectations are so high. Even though the Dodgers were high too, it seems weird, I guess maybe because of the way they went all in and the way they dealt with Harper this year. And it was just a bit of a very disconnect of what they were sort of trying to do. They didn't know if they were supposed to be sellers or buyers, and yeah, so all of it sort of, they just, I think it was just a wasted year if you're a National fan.
Yeah. The other call-up that the trio talk about that I thought was pretty interesting, and particularly because we were talking about injuries and optioned players and stuff earlier, so the Brewers currently trying to get their hands on Matt Harvey, but in their farm system right now, Zach Brown, right-handed pitcher, who sidelined for a while with an ankle sprain, but in the Southern League, 2.34 ERA with 108 strikeouts in 111 and two-thirds. He has holding right-handed hitters to a 188 batting average.
Wow. That's incredible.
So 23-year-old, potential bullpen option for a team that just released Davies and Knebel.
Yeah. I can totally see that happening. Zeke, you still there?
Yes, I'm still there. I'm just stunned by those stats.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's a very good, very, very impressive. Yeah, no, this is a good fun time, right? Because in the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about there's all these pennant races. The wild card is still in play. It's been fun to kind of, I've seen a couple of games this summer and just kind of enjoy sort of, even though some teams have sort of been out that I've watched, you know, if you're a Toronto fan, another wasted year as always. But, yeah, there's some call-ups that even Toronto have brought up. I think they've got an exciting future a little bit as they finally now bridge towards the future. And I think Toronto, the problem with them was that they got stuck in sort of no man's land this year about keeping Donaldson and Martin and kind of the remnants of the last couple of years and not really bridging faster towards, you know, let's just do the rebuild and get it going.
One other club that could benefit from some bullpen help is the Diamondbacks. Taylor Widener is their number three prospect. They got him in the deal with the Yankees for Brandon Drury. And he has led the organization in strikeouts and stands second in ERA. Was a reliever in college, so certainly.
Anybody to stop Brad Ziegler from pitching is good in my books.
That's a fair comment. Fair comment.
This is true. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for time. Zook, thanks for calling in.
No worries. I'll try and do it again next week, boys.
And we'll stick around for Democracy Now! Coming up after these messages.
See you.